April 17, 2024. It's a lot from Pedro Show. Show Happy Wednesday. Start off with an excerpt live, November 18, 1961. John Coltrane doing Blue Train. And then we had Stephen Bloom with Why I Belong Here. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me from the Hudson Valley. Stephen Bloom, welcome aboard.
Thank you. So glad to be here. I'm psyched to chat with you, Mike.
Absolutely. Let's learn about your journey through music. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
It's hard to tell what was really the earliest. I remember Rock Around the Clock being my favorite song when I was two or three in daycare. And something about music from that time, the 50s and 60s, I think of it as such a burst of freedom with music being made by young people for young people, marketed to young people for the first time.
It's funny you say that because I remember Blackboard Jungle, I think, that song, and Bill Haley looked like our pop or something.
Yeah.
But you're right, it was music for young, yeah, rock and roll. It was kind of R&B just repurposed for a different audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way. But
especially that song in particular. I wouldn't say it's my favorite song now, but, you know, it's a good song.
No, it's a great tune. And it's and in a way, that sax sound is kind of what became fuzz guitar in a way.
Sure, right. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I just remember, like, oldies, you know, just loving that stuff all through my life, and I still do.
Well, let me ask you this. The pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
Not really. There was a piano in the house that really, really fascinated me, but it disappeared. My mom got rid of it at some point when I was a very young child, and that's really too bad. But
did she save you from the ordeal of the piano lessons?
I guess so. Maybe that was looking for.
No, I say that, Stephen, because I've had people on the show that almost quit music because of that experience.
Sure, yeah.
I think it's about the teachers more than the lessons, you know. Not everybody's a teacher. It's a skill just like anything. Let me ask you this. What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in both those shits. I was in, I played the bass drum, the snare drum, and fifth grade band. I was in chorus, junior high chorus, seventh, eighth grade. You know, those definitely gave me a foundation. I took violin lessons apart from school for a little while when I was in fifth grade.
Yeah, I asked that because some schools got rid of their arts programs. Okay, so, and you say it helped you there. Okay. What was the first record, Stephen, you bought with your own money?
I think it was probably a Jackson 5 Best Of.
And what was the first gig you saw?
They Might Be Giants. My sister took me to Binghamton University to see them.
Binghamton. One time Minutemen played there with Black Flag. It's one of them S.U.N. Weiss schools, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Seen that show.
Yeah, it was in 1984 or something. God, that's 40 years ago. Time's a freight train. Let me ask you this. Not after school, like graduate, but in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, bedroom band, garage band thing?
I grew up in really rural Pennsylvania, and there weren't that many people around. I was playing music by myself. I met with kids a couple times to play music, but it never became a real, like, band, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
But I got my first guitar. My dad and stepmom bought it for me for my maybe 14th birthday. And from then on, I was hooked.
Okay, so you gave up on those other instruments. So good to have foundation with drums, though, man. If I was like school czar, that would be one. I'd have two requirements to graduate. You'd have to play drums, learn it, and then visit another country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the drums. I was always fascinated. My sister also, it still is in a concert band, kind of a marching band situation. But back in, she's a lot older than I am. So when I was growing up, I remember going to her school and being so fascinated by the drum set. And then I would stay sometimes when my mom was away, stay at a friend of hers house, and this friend had a drum set. She was an accomplished drummer. And this was when I was in third grade. I'd write songs on the drum kit and remember them all day while I was in school, excited to go back home at the end of the day and play them, you know, in exactly the same order, like I'd written these songs on them.
You composed on drums. That's
great. Isn't that funny? I didn't really understand.
No, it ain't funny. I wish that would be pursued more and more. You know, Chico Hamilton had to fight to get songwriting credits because they said drummers can't write. I guess the notes last too short, but that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, there is a melody to them, of course, and that's how I played them.
Okay.
And then later on when I, you know, that's probably mostly why I stopped playing them, because I really wanted to explore melody and harmony in my own songwriting, and that wasn't how drums are generally understood to be.
But I don't think it's inherent in the device. I think it's just some kind of weird philosophy saying it's got to be some kind of. Let me ask you this. What hipped you to the guitar? The melody part, right?
Well, I don't know specifically. probably just wanting to make my own songs. I remember my mom took me on vacation somewhere. It was Somerset in Prince Edward Island, and we went into a gift shop, and there was a poster there that had all the guitar chords on it. And she bought the poster for me, and I had it hanging up in my bedroom before I ever had a guitar. So it was just on the wall, and I'm fantasizing about the day where I'll actually have a machine to go and help me play these chords, you know?
It's like having a dictionary up there, and you're learning how to write.
Yeah. I remember there was a guitar at the local podunk music shop that didn't really... I didn't really have good instruments there, and I remember sending it to my older brother, and he was asking his friends, "Have you guys ever heard of this brand?" And nobody had, so he advised me not to get it. But then my dad, like I said, my dad and stepmom came through with that, the Squire Strat kit that came with the...
Oh, so it was an electric guitar. Okay, because a lot of cats, right, they start on acoustic, and they wonder why it don't sound like most of the guitars on the rock and roll records.
Okay. Yeah, come to think of it, that's right. It was an electric guitar first.
Yeah, and what'd you do? How'd you learn it? Did you by yourself, autodidact, or did you go to a cat teaching lessons?
I only did a couple guitar lessons, sadly. I wouldn't really recommend that. I've never gotten really great on guitar. You know, I can do pretty good rhythm guitar and do the chords that I want to do, but I'm not like a great guitarist. Which bums me out a little bit now because so many of my friends who are fantastic musicians have so many avenues open to them, you know, doing all kinds of gigs. And I can really only just do my own stuff.
Well, you know, not everybody behind the wheel is a race car driver.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they can still get to the store and do shopping and, you know. So maybe, you know what I mean? I'm trying to be pragmatic about it here. Maybe, yeah.
I appreciate hearing a different point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes it's a means to an end. So, especially some of these cats, whatever they pick up, they can play. Maybe not like expertly, but man, I've seen that. It's incredible. They don't have to hone in on one thing. You gave me this tune here, Wissahickon?
Wissahickon, yeah.
Oh, Hickon. Okay, let's listen.
A hermit thrush told me about the hooting owl's tricks. They want to take you back to their Pennsylvania cricks. Although they're so far from your new life that you now know. Your important meeting, it was canceled, so you go. The dandelion daylight dies. You catch a dozen fireflies. A red delicious tastes like fall. While it's all growing dark, close your eyes. Sleep beside the Wissahickon. If you're not chicken, good enough for any Wiccan to dip their toes in. From your lips escapes a prayer. Do you believe in God? As you are, she sees you there. She's nodding as you nod. Streams of consciousness. Show what you suppress. Lost are all the others. You have found yourself at last. Baptized by the brothers as you wade into the past. Psalms and prophecies set your heart at ease. scare as a fish who darts away. Below it, still the ripple grants your wish. God breathes in and puffs out the light, the feeling of night. Stumble to your feet, and tweet. Sunlight warms the breeze. Touching through the jarred awake, you crawl aboard your gasping SEPTA bus. Thinking back on where you snored, you look back and smile at us. Sleep beside the Wissahickon if you're not chicken. Good enough for any Wiccan to dip their toes in.
It comes to you sometimes, but only when you stop looking.
When I sleepily asked where thoughts and ideas come from, waves electric danced up my tummy and gave me some. There was a light. There was a lovely light. But I'll never know if it was all in my mind, or was it a light? Sad when I think of arrogant things I said. I get scared that I was awakened in my ward bed. There was a light. There was a lovely night, but I'll never know if it was all in my mind, or was it a night? Warm vibrations fell on my chest from the soft white light. I sensed someone was telling me I would be all right. There was a
for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Stephen Bloom with Wissahickon. And then Speak But Be Quiet. This is from Nastant featuring Zeynep Asadoglu. Another language here, people, and I'm fucking up royally, sorry. Laurie Lussier and Santes Glasses after that with Crushing Cars Dream. KP Transmission with Budota. Santes Glasses and Henda Kagan with One of Ten Plagues. Graham gave me this stuff. He put out a new compilation of all this wild experimental thing. Trondaneco with Monhorn. Brand new from Agriculture. The House of Angel Flesh from Frenzer. Right, the Flenzer is the label. Crystal with One More Chance. And finally, Stephen Bloom. There Was a Light. Okay, so after you get this Stratocaster guitar, what do you do with music?
Well, I just dug into writing songs. I kind of had my own unique way of putting chords and structure together. But as I mentioned before, I grew up in rural Pennsylvania, so I wasn't really playing out until I went to Temple University in Philadelphia.
With Firehose, I played at the campus once. Let me ask you this. When you were coming up with your stuff, did you have a four-track? Did you record this stuff, or did it just go into the atmosphere?
Yeah, just into the atmosphere. Just into my memory, and then my memory lost the songs.
Because a lot of people I've had on the show, they got into, like, getting a little cassette four-track, or later on with the garage band on the pewter. And,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
The earliest recordings I have are from my first semester at Temple University.
At school.
So the stuff I was like putting together when I was like 14, 15, 16 are all gone.
Okay. So at school, at college, there's other people doing music, or do you continue man alone? Do you try to explore some collab?
I collab some, but for some reason, maybe I was already comfortable being alone a lot of the time. For the most part, I just kept on doing stuff myself. Like that song we heard earlier, Why I Belong Here, I would often sing along with tracks, sing and dance with the track I'd made. I liked freeing my body up to move around and not being sort of encumbered.
So you're talking performances. When was your first performance?
My friend Rich Wexler this was back in the old MySpace days, had seen a photo of me on Facebook or MySpace that was kind of glammy. It was a fun one. And he thought, I'd like to book this guy just based on the photo. And he had me come out and do shows in West Philly at different cafes. And he's still my friend now. In fact, I just got off the phone with him. He's the guy behind Vintage Annals Archive.
Yeah.
Which is a popular Instagram page, and he's acting as my label and manager now. So we're friends, good friends and collaborators to this day based on that photo he saw.
So you're saying your first performance came via, it was unsolicited. This cat just saw a photo of you on one of those corporate websites.
Yeah.
That's a trip. And so like unheard, cause it's just a photo. So, here, you come into this. Where was it? Was it in Philly?
Yeah. It would have been a cafe in West Philly that booked shows. He did a lot of shows back then.
And you're man alone mode, and you're singing and dancing and playing guitar?
Yeah, sometimes I pick up a guitar and play. Sometimes I just
keep dancing. Well, I'm talking specifically that first. Because you can only have your first one once, right? So that's why I'm kind of interested.
Yeah. It's hard to remember what exactly the first one was.
Try to remember back, but it must have been a success because you kept, or at least not enough not to make you quit because you kept going.
Yeah, you know, if I may, I guess, boast a little bit, he always said that he noticed every time I'd do a show with him, there'd always be a strong audience reaction that he'd never seen with another performer that he booked. So that's one reason he continues to work with me now.
Wow.
And just was was cool. I mean, even if there was only one person in the audience, when I was really little, I saw a No Doubt documentary on VH1, you know, one of those behind the musics.
Yeah.
And it talked about how if there was a small crowd, they'd still put on the biggest show they possibly could. You know, we're going to treat them like this is a huge crowd. And so I filed that away in my memory. So one time at one of these shows, one person comes out. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to, like, give it my all as though this is a packed crowd. And then that one person came up to me after the show and turned out to be a DJ on WPRB Princeton.
Yeah.
Who is still a good supporter of my music, playing my music, you know, these days, this new album recently on WPRB. So that was another, like, fluke that really worked out. And
no, but I think the ethics, I think the aesthetics are informed by the ethics, you know, by you putting that in. Yeah, because believe it or not, that stuff us Minutemen learned from Black Flag. Henry wrote a big, Hank Rollins, he wrote a big essay on this. Like, if you can't work, our nickname for those kind of gigs were character builders. And if you can't work one of those character builders, you don't deserve the other kind.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody express.
Okay, get this. Last couple of years, I was reading all the John Coltrane bios I could, maybe 10 of them. And one of them had this thing about a gig. It's him and the classic quartet, McCoy, Jimmy, and Elvin. And there's like three people in the audience. It's a Sunday afternoon. And John Coltrane turns towards the other cats. He says, look, dig yourself. And they played for 3.5 hours for those three people. Man, I wish I would have got that command performance.
Yeah.
So I think people who really know or understand the idea of, you know, the arts, they understand this. It's not just about winning the lotto, the popularity thing, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I totally agree, yeah.
That's a trip.
Well, popularity is nice, too. But
I know, it's beside the fact, right? It's not a core ethic. Yeah.
And it's a bad thing to stake your happiness in, for sure.
Because you're setting yourself up to get knocked down, right?
That's right.
Because, you know, think about it. Arts is the only place where, well, not maybe the only, but practically the only, where people got a choice. Hey, I don't like that. Or I might like it tomorrow, but right now, nope. Yeah. Now I like it, but not tomorrow. You know, just all kinds of shit. So you just put it out there and people get to decide. It's a weird trip on democracy in a way. Yeah. So
you know what else I loved was Maurice White's autobiography, where he talks about how when he was rising, he'd get all these gifts coming in from people, and he just knew that someday the gifts would disappear, so he never took it seriously.
Yeah.
So when his career started as a, you know, a popularity-wise, a downturn, and the gifts disappeared, it didn't hurt him.
Who was that?
That's Maurice White from Earth, Wind & Fire.
Oh, Maurice White, yeah. Verdine.
That's a great book.
His brother, Verdine, you know, bassman, I got a Lifetime Achievement Award same night he did by that magazine, bass magazine. And man, that cat, I mean, that whole family, right? Incredible.
Yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire people. Great band. Great band. That's a great, you know, some people it takes a whole life to learn that. and they don't learn it. So tell me, you're doing these solo shows, dancing and playing guitar and singing. And how does that evolve? Does it go through all college?
Yeah, all college, after college. Eventually, I moved up to this area in the Hudson Valley to help open the sadly now defunct music venue Club Helsinki, which was in Hudson, New York. It was in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and then later in Hudson, New York.
I
was in that scene for a while helping them open.
I know about Howard with his the low beat and Valentine's and stuff like that. God, he had like bogeys in the old days, Albany. But I, you know, the whole idea of keeping a venue going is really tough. But man, I love people who are into that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you were help running it, but you also played there?
Yeah, I wasn't like one of the higher ups, but I was doing, you know, working the door, doing sound, hosting the open mic. Eventually I got a job at Etsy.com, which became my kind of bread and butter, my paying the bills. And people would say like, man, you're going to have less time for music. But I would say like, geez, I can't afford to buy a microphone. Like I was depressed.
Yeah.
So when I got the job at Etsy, it gave me less time to do music, but it gave me more finances to put in music and a more set schedule where I would know, like, I'm going to have this time to work on my music. So it was like a trade-off.
Yeah.
I'm no longer with Etsy. I was laid off a few months ago, but just in time to release my new album. So the timing couldn't have been better. I'm kind of happy to have this time to just focus on this and chat with you without worrying about anything else right now.
Yeah, great. Now, did you stay in Mantalona, or did you try joining some bands?
I tried getting some people together, but, you know, it's a rural area up here. There are fewer people around and fewer people who are into or were into, like, the synth pop stuff that I was doing.
Yeah.
Most of the people around here are into Americana music, which I love, but it just wasn't what I was making. So
sure.
I just kind of kept doing it myself. And, you know, working with other people can be unreliable and present challenges.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was, like, able to get by doing it myself, so I'm just going to keep doing it myself. Now, with a new project, I'm working with it's not synth pop anymore. As you heard some of it, it's orchestral.
Yeah, really interesting. Yeah. We'll get to that. But we're at the end of the first hour. I'm sorry. April 17, 2024, Dish Wap Pedro Show, special guest Stephen Bloom. Hold tight for hour two. April 17, 2024, it's the second hour of Wap Pedro Show.
The moon is hanging low, gazing upon the snow-white snow. He wants to steal the show. He doesn't know I already bathe in glow. Blowing wind below, lonely I look, although nothing but snow, nothing. Oh,
Hablar y latinar de un chico y de yo amar en una área madera.
Thank you.
Para los adecuados de Prado Florencia. Gracias.
Thank you.
much to blame. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I drink a lot of mushkablum. Mushkablum. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I drink a lot of mushkablum. Mushkablum. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mushkablum. I drink a lot of mushkablum. Mushkablum. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Watt for Pedro Show start off the second hour. Stephen Bloom, The Moon, and the 12 Tones. Acid Mother's Reynolds. It's a collab between Acid Mother Temple and the Reynolds. Japan-Argentina connect. Kicking Air Bricks. Then Disorganism and Sunken Lanes. With Sucking the Ghost from the Tarmac. Finally, Stephen Bloom, My Beautiful Boy. Tell me about your songwriting process. Like with words, where do they come in the process?
Well, every song is different.
Okay.
Sometimes an idea for a lyric will come in, like just a line. And as you know, like words and phrases have their own melodies to them. So often a melody and lyric will occur at the same time. But I still have to spend usually quite a while figuring out the rest of the song. And then other times I'll have a melody first, like a whole song written, and then I'll have to go in and fill in the lyrics. That can be really, really difficult.
Having the music first and then having to provide the words. What about words? Do you write on demand, or do you have like a little trove of a cache, a big collection of stuff just waiting to see the light of day?
Both. Yeah, if I've got something I'm kind of focused on, I'll work it and see it through. I have a Google Doc that was really handy when I was working on my job at Etsy. I'd kind of have that open if I thought of an idea while I was at work, and then plopped it in there, and it's so easy to edit. And that's many, many pages long. That's just full of stuff. And then when I need an idea, I go look at that and see if there's anything in there that I might want to morph into. But, you know, also as I read, little ideas, you know, something might spark.
What about titles? When does the title come? At the beginning, during, or after?
Again, I don't know if there's, like, it's always the same. Probably at the end, but
okay.
I might kind of know.
I asked that because I have to start with the title because I need some focus. So
that's
hardly
cool.
Anybody I ask does it first. Some people, but hardly anyone. So that's kind of my question here. You know, all these are Stephen Bloom tunes except one. You gave me one that's Kiss, Kiss, Kill. But the title... The Happy Puppy song, Progeny, was a trip to me. Let's listen, and then you can enlighten us.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
Some people's faces give off a glow. They're in the know of somewhere. A gentle presence can melt the snow and make a brooding room bright. Learn how to turn on and be a light to lean on. Learn how to turn on and be a light to lean on. Thinking about my old friends, I truly love humankind. It's easy to find a grace. Whenever I see someone I love, I plant the kiss on their face. Learn how to turn on and be a light to lean on. Turn on and be a light to lean on. Thinking about my old friends. With the right friend, I feel enlightened. Memories made, but I still save them. It's all. Don't be frightened, they still have what you once gave them. Learn how to turn on and be a light to lead.
For Pedro's show, start that chunk off with the Happy Puppy song from Kiss Kiss Kill. And then Vacant Possession and Basic Tape Loops with Small Things Long Forgotten. And more from Brother Graham there. Margin Rot with Pot of Rock. And finally Stephen Bloom, My Old Friends. So Kiss Kiss Kill. Why isn't it Stephen Bloom?
Backtracking back to my West Philly days, they were actually maybe a band that shared that first bill
I
was playing at the cafe, and they loved my set, and I became friends with the band, and then later on they asked me to produce an EP of theirs. So this is some early production work of mine on my pretty limited equipment at the time, where I added the keyboard and different synthesizer sounds and my Glockenspiel and maybe a voice in there. But that's a song by a guy who goes by Eric Chocolates now, Norman Carter on bass, Hannah Sassman, and Jess Marcus on vocals.
So by this time, you moved on to kick drum, or was it kick drum? Bass drum that you carried, right? And then that was some violin and then electric guitar. And then you moved on to, like, keyboards and Glockenspiel. That's kind of a school band instrument.
I guess so. You know, that probably comes from my love of Phil Spector.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to have the Phil Spector sound. Not that I did it on this, but some of my early recordings do have that kind of sound. Why I Belong Here has a Glockenspiel on it.
Yeah, the people, they're kind of like a, you know, the way tubas are called sousaphones when they wrap around your body. Well, this is kind of xylophone for a marching cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So it's kind of percussive. It makes sense. It's where you can play notes. Don Bonebreak, the ex-drummer, great drummer man, but he can play the fucking vibes and, you know, with the four mallets, right? So you can make chords and stuff. Yeah. Okay, so this is Stephen Bloom as, well, you were a side musician, but you also produce it because your stuff is self-produced, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do all my own arrangements and everything.
And it's learning by doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I love it. Like skateboard, right? You fall down, you get back up. So, yeah. And what about My Beautiful Boy?
Let's see, what about it? That's my sort of pastiche of Italo disco.
Okay, because Italo disco, that's a good word for it.
I just love all kinds of music, you know?
Me too. I like this idea of trying to get free of genre.
Yeah, which makes it really hard for my stage of getting the album out because I've got to, like, pitch the playlist and there's no, like, genre that my music fits into, which can be a pain in the butt, but it's also liberating in other ways.
Stephen, I think artists have got to, like, get together on this because it shouldn't be that way. They should say, hey, we're free of this instead of the genre meisters, the gulag guards. You know, why are they in charge? I could see, you know, the chain stores with their bins and what bin is your gun. But it ain't like that now. So
if
people just, anyway, I don't get all like self-righteous on this solo. But I'm almost on the warpath of this stuff because it seems like people can't even talk about music without bringing in these reference words that are ridiculous. You know?
Yeah.
Just taste your chow. Chew it. Tell me how it tastes. You like it or not? Is it healthy? You know, that's the way I wish we could get more about music. So, Italian disco. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And really, when you're thinking of when you're composing and stuff, do you, right? It just hits you. The muse hits you, right? And you got to fucking bring it.
Yeah, and I never really know what's gonna come out. I'm not somebody who like has the sound all laid down when they go to do the arrangements.
Uh-huh.
So it can sound like it's gonna be a totally like at first. I think it might be a totally different song than what comes out when the arrangements are done.
Right, and what you're looking for the hook, you're looking for the groove, mm-hmm. you're looking for the.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got to flesh it out and stitch it together.
I think in terms of tension, I have a pretty good ear for when there is some part of the song that starts to get a little dull or repetitive. Yeah. And when I feel that happening, I give it a little twist. Okay. So the songs take all kinds of twists and turns. And I never really studied music, but a lot of people like Berkeley players will really love the stuff because there are all these extra measures around here and they get excited, you know, when they're not just doing something that fits the normal formula.
Yeah, normal. Gotta hate that word.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I just had it used against me as a teenager so much. I think people confuse it with the idea of being healthy or decent. No, it just means what's going on at the time, you know.
It means fitting the need to, I don't know, go to work and fit the capitalist system. Sit right in, so keep the machinery running.
Yeah, and don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody once got all Einstein on me. Don't think, do. Okay. Yabble. My old friends, do you have somebody in mind when you write? Are you writing to everybody, just potential listeners? Or do you really have somebody in mind and you want to celebrate them?
I often write about my friends. My Beautiful Boy is actually about my dear friend Antoine, who I lived with for many years and helped him earn his PhD by editing his papers for him. I was always a good proofreader. And he did eventually get his PhD. So I kind of mentioned him in the song and where we used to live in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
With my old friends, I probably did have in mind like a group of my college friends.
Right.
But it's
like endearing. It's not like, you know, the Dan with my old school. That's kind of a bummer, right?
Yeah.
The day I go back to Annandale. We're at the end of the second hour. April 17, 2024 edition. What Peter's for special guest, Stephen Bloom. Hold tight for hour three. April 17, 2024. It's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Of me. Guardian angels, make the most of me. Show my strength, hide my weakness, don't let go, so everyone agrees. You've made something of me. Every time
fulfilled. I believe we're going to the room. Add it. Magnificent.
Thank you.
The terror of our times is being lonely. I never feel alone. By people who are not I know that there is someone watching. I never feel alone. And even when you're gone, God's with me. When I am on my own, I am on my own. Last night I couldn't sleep. I went to work though, and like the day before, I went right back home. I felt uncertain, so I walked a quarter mile. Although I feel myself aging, I'm keeping healthy. I know that there is someone watching. I never feel alone. And even when you're gone, God's with me. When I am on my own, I am on my own. There's a nightlight on my wall.
Show start off third hour. Stephen Bloom, Vice. Life is very short. Part two. Part one, people. This is an important part. Okay, yeah. I rolls in February with Copaganda of Desire. Copaganda, Copacopia, but not. Yeah, and then finally Stephen Bloom. I never feel alone. You know, life is very short. We kind of fake ourselves out, huh? That we got forever. I remember I was took this young drummer, younger guy, and he was, hey, we got a couple hours to kill. And I just looked at him. Maybe, you know, a younger person, they can't know that, you know.
Huh.
Yeah. What were you thinking when you wrote that?
Oh, I was thinking of somebody I was in love with at the time. And it was a mix of, when I write a love song, I kind of mix it up with a spiritual feeling. I have a lot of Eastern philosophy mixed in with my thinking, and Western too, about how love feels like a spiritual thing. So it's kind of a mix of those two things. And there was a lot going on in that song. Each line is a little different. So there are things about religion in there and, kind of not really needing the Bible, just seeing the divinity in all things without a text, kind of telling you what to think. And I had a lot of fun writing that song. I wrote that just after I moved to, Hudson from Philadelphia. So it was a new point in my life. And a lot of the feeling I had, the excitement I had, was wrapped up in that song. It's an interesting one.
And then, you know, I mean, poetry, right? I think the difference between poetry and lyrics is poetry has to supply its own rhythm. Mm. Lyrics, you're borrowing with the music. But just the idea of layers and not being, quote, literal, unquote.
Yeah.
In some ways, being almost super literal.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I would also,
like people say
really
they feel the beat, they feel the music. Well, I think you could feel the words, too, even though, yeah, there might be some ambiguity in there.
Yeah. I was really into, I was just getting into the Sondheim, Stephen Sondheim musical, Sunday in the Park with George, too. And I remember thinking I wanted to make it like a Sondheim song set to disco.
Why not? You know, it's like cooking. Yeah, I'll put this with this and this and this. See how it tastes.
Yeah.
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 I mean, again, the ethics are inform the aesthetics in a trippy way or whatever. You could be, you know, John Fogerty, born on a very, very northwest bayou.
Mm-hmm.
Gil Cerritos. a little far from Louisiana, but okay. Easter, speaking of religion.
Such gratitude, one, for the day that I was born, two, for the day that you were born, three, for the day that we met. God bless you, God keep you, keep you exactly the way that you are. Grow older and wiser, but stay exactly the way that you are. I feel the feeling of a million tiny cells. And you now sound. God, keep you. Keep you exactly the way you are. Grow older and wiser, but stay exactly the way you are. I'm gracious to you. You're glorious to me, and I feel more feelings than my little heart can hold. God bless you. God keep you. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Somewhere, though it's cold out there, it's warm in Abu Dhabi. Billions of people living out their daily lives, doing any little thing, doing any little thing. I'm lost anyway. It doesn't matter where we are, the bodega or a park in New York City. Every word you speak comes out of you, and here we are, doing any little thing, doing any little thing.
Doing anything will do. Watch for Peter. Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Start off with Easter from Stephen Bloom. And then Sadie and Kate Bosworth with Nothing Used. Sam Quinn and Emily Ballard with Back Home. And finally, Stephen Bloom, Any Little Thing. Anything to say about Easter?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we were talking about a little while ago about how words and phrases have their own melody to them. And one day I was sitting in church in Hudson, New York. I used to go to a Presbyterian church, and what I liked about this church is that it was kind of an open secret that a lot of people went who weren't really devout Christians and were doubters. And I would go for the community and the education. And it was also a very liberal church with a wonderful reverend my age at the time. Anyway, one day I was sitting there and something in the Bible was saying, God bless you, God keep you. And that struck me as a great idea for a song. And God bless you, God keep you, were just instant in my head then. And then later on, I filled in the rest. But that was just a little nugget of how I write a song.
What about I Never Feel Alone? I forgot to ask you about that.
Oh, that one is it's a lot of personal stuff. It doesn't sound that exciting to explain because it's kind of like about the ennui and despair, elements of despair we can feel as we get older.
Less younger.
Yeah.
Ennui, despair. Yeah, those are kind of like words.
Sounds like a great, you know, song. That's kind of like what I was thinking. I've dealt with a lot of depression in my life, like a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of expressing what I was feeling, getting over some trauma. And
well, let me ask you about arts as kind of a medicine with that kind of sitch. You think?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, like, all the songs happen when I get overcome with some emotion and I go to an instrument to let it out. And that emotion could be a lot of sadness welling up, or it could be a lot of joy. But I just want to go grab the guitar and, like see what happens, you know?
It's trippy because, you know, I've been playing a lot of music here with your stuff from this cat Graham in England. And he totally is into this idea that music can be medicine with depression. And he's been working with people. Yeah, the same thing. And for me, I got to tell you, yeah, lifeline sometimes, you know. There's something about channeling energy and creative, especially us guys being guys, right? We're never going to have babies biologically, but maybe our tunes. What about Any Little Thing?
Any Little Thing is about how you could be doing any little thing with someone, but like grocery shopping or going in the bodega or just hanging out. But if you're doing it with somebody you're in love with or care about, whatever you're doing, it's a wonderful experience. You don't have to be doing any big special fancy date or anything.
That's great. I dig it. That's what I felt from it. Now, you said the record's just coming out. So how can people find out about you on the internet?
Well, they can go to stephenbloom.bandcamp or stephenbloom.fun is my website.
See that, people? And that's STEPHENBLUHM because there's probably other ways to spell that.
Yeah. If they get tripped up, they can search for Out of the Nowhere Into the Here, the name of the album.
Okay, yeah, that's the title. Okay, and what about tour? Have you ever done touring?
I've never done a proper tour, but I'm looking to do it this summer.
Since the Etsy thing's gone, maybe you got some time and you can tour this album.
That's exactly right. I do have an album. I'm not sure when you're going to put this out, but if it's in time.
I'm going to put this out in about 2 hours.
I'll give you
a URL that you can share with people.
Oh, that's fantastic. So that's enough time. You know, I will be in Catskill, New York at Avalon Lounge doing an album release show April 25th, Thursday, and then May 22nd at Greenkill in Kingston, New York. And that will be live streamed with anybody can watch from anywhere. I'll be in Philadelphia at Abyssinia June 1st. Most of these shows I'll be with a cellist, a violinist, clarinetist and saxophonist, flautist, you know, filling out the arrangements.
Ah, so an ensemble.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It can be a challenge too, but especially if you got aiding and abettors, that's the best. Yeah, I love it. And man, you got plans for another one, right? You're going to make more music. Let me put out the invite right now, Stephen. Whenever you want to be on, just tell me.
Oh, I'd love to be on again. Okay. It's so great to chat with you. You have so much joy in what you're doing. It's really, really special.
You're most kind, Stephen. I can't wait to have you back on. People, April 17, 2024, edition WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.